Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Lord knows where we're at, and He knows before the foundations of the world was ever laid who would be sitting here today and that I'd be standing here and what I'd be preaching. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in the foreknowledge of God. He's all-knowing. He's a sovereign God. Amen. And I want to read you. I'm just going to let you remain seated because I'm going to jump around a little bit. And I want to look at Jairus, this daddy, this morning. In this passage, will you pray for me and pray with me? Father, I love you. I pray, God, that you'd help us this morning. God, I just want to say thank you for being good. Thank you, God, for giving us what we need, when we need it, how we need it. God, thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for people it's not ashamed to worship. God, thank you for people that love you. Thank you, God, for the good choir singing. Thank you, God, for the children's family singing to us, God. Thank you, Lord, for the talent that they have. But, God, thank you more than that for the touch that they have on their life. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us today. Help us to rightly divide the Word of God. God, I pray, Lord, that you just use us as we preach today. God, save sinners, Lord, if there'd be anybody here lost. God, I don't know the hearts of the individuals sitting on the seats today. But I know you do, and I pray, oh God, that you would touch them today. God, help us to rightly divide the Word of God, and we'll be careful to give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This story is very interesting in Mark chapter number 5. You also find it in Matthew chapter number 9 and in Luke chapter number 8. You that knows your Bible and has been in church any time at long, any length at all, I'm sure that you've heard a message probably on Jairus's daughter or even on Jairus or more than anything that's preached out of this passage of Scripture is the lady with the issue of blood. She had the issue of blood 12 years and had spent all that she had, and she finds her way to Jesus, and when she touches the hem of His garment, man, she was made whole that day. And it's interesting how Jesus, which is Brother Jeremiah, brought this out on Sunday night, but Jesus changes the way that He talks to him, verse number 34, and says, "Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole." And he points out that she's His at that moment. Amen. I believe that there is a wonderful picture of salvation right there, that we become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. That lady went away changed that day. The issue that she had had for 12 years, she no longer had after she met the Lord that day. Now, I'm glad no matter the issues that you may have had, and you may have tried to spend everything you could to get help for that issue, if you'll just make your way to Calvary this morning, there's a lot of issues of this life that can be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a whole nother message, but it's in this story. Amen. But I want to look at Jairus. Look in verse number 21 of Mark chapter number 5. The Bible said, "And when Jesus was passed over, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet." The Bible said in verse 23, "And he besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." I want to look at this man named Jairus. I'm aware of the time. I'll not keep you over an hour and a half. And I promise you I won't keep you that long. But I got a couple thoughts that's just a couple words wrote down in the flyleaf of my Bible. And I just want to look at Jairus for a minute today. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see his dignity today. Who is this man by the name of Jairus? Who is he that we're reading about in the Bible? Well, there's a great big statement made about this man by the name of Jairus. And the Bible said this, one of the rulers of the synagogue. He was a ruler of the synagogue in that day. In other words, his dignity of that day. In other words, Jairus, if we want to look at it this way, Jairus was a very quote-unquote religious man. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Matter of fact, when you study his life out, you study his duties out inside the synagogue, you'll find out that he was probably responsible for getting those to come in and speak at the synagogue. He was responsible for making sure that they was on the right track when it comes to a religious realm of that day. But you also find out that it is the same crowd that crucifies Jesus Christ. You'll find that he is probably in his time and in his position at where he's at. There has probably been times that Jairus even warned about this man that they calling Jesus of Nazareth, this carpenter that has come on the scene now, that for 30 years he's practically been silent. We've not heard anything hardly about him. We get a glimpse into his life when he is born, and then a few years later we get a glimpse into his life. At 12 we get a glimpse into his life when his mother and his father leaves him at the feast of the Passover. We see him just a little bit right then, and then he's silent until he's 30 years old. And all of a sudden he steps out on the scene at 30 years old and he says, I am the Christ. I am the one that all of the Old Testament prophesied about. Everybody in the Old Testament, all of those prophets said, there's a man that's going to, well, I'm starting to feel pretty good this morning. There's a man that's going to show up on the scene one day and he'll save you from your sin. All of the typology of the Old Testament, all of the turtle doves that had died, and all of the lambs and all of the rams that had died, all of the blood that had been sacrificed, they said, a man is coming one day, and when he gets here, he'll be the ultimate sacrifice. He'll be the final sacrifice. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus is on the scene now. But the Pharisees and those in the synagogue, those that was religious, did not like the fact that Jesus was on the scene, because he was claiming, listen to me, he was claiming to be God. Let me take it a step further. He not only claimed to be God, he is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God is uniplurality. That is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, a triune Godhead, three in one and one in three. You say, preacher, explain it all. Just believe it, man. Jesus has stepped out on the scene now. And here is Jairus that has warned about him. Here is Jairus that has probably, Brother Matt, no doubt told people, don't listen to him. He is a false prophet. They're seeking to kill Jesus for who he says he is and who he really was. Now, this man of dignity of that day, can I just say it this way? Religiously, he had been raised right. Can I just say it this way? Religiously, I was raised right. My dad and my mom took me to the, I said it this way, mama took me to church 9 months before I was ever born. I grew up in this right here. All I know is church. That's all I've ever known my whole life. But I'm going to tell you something. There come a day in my life where my religion had to leave, and I had to realize that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. I had to realize that Daddy wasn't taking me to heaven and Mama wasn't taking me to heaven. There had to come a time in my life where I realized that Jesus was not just somebody they was talking about, but Jesus was somebody that could move into my life and become my best friend. Amen. Jairus is dignity this morning. Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus has warned about Jesus. Jairus, no doubt, has told people probably not to listen to Jesus. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see his daughter. Now, I'm headed somewhere. When I get there, we're going to go home, and Leslie's backslid. We don't have chicken today. We've got a roast because it's Father's Day, and I like chicken, but my daddy likes roast. So we got roast at my house today. I still hadn't figured all of that out, but anyway, we'll go home and eat roast. Watch this. I see his daughter. His daughter's 12 years old. We don't know if he has any other children because it's not stated. You say, well, this was his own. I don't know. It's not stated, okay? But I do know he's got one and she's 12 years old. Now, I want you to note what he says. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Madeline is sitting here this morning. She's 21 years old. She is a registered nurse. She passed her NCLEX. And she sent me a picture on Friday working, and I sent it to Brother Brian. She had that tag pulled up big, Brother Will, and it said nurse on the bottom of it. And I thought, oh, Lord, help the people that she's working with today. More than that, help the people she's working on today. But watch this. She's 21 years old. She's grown, if you want to look at it that way. She's starting now. She's working a job. And man, I'm happy for her. But you know what? If something happens to Madeline, you'll hear me say this, my little girl. My little girl. She's 21. My mama still calls me her baby boy. I don't care what you think about that or not. Look, I'm married. I got a wife. I've got three children. I don't care what you think about me. I'm still a mama's boy, all right? First surgery I ever had. Matter of fact, I hadn't been at the church long at all. And I called mama and said, you need to come to the hospital with me, okay? Now what he says, my little girl. Jairus makes reference to his daughter. Why? Because she's been sick. And she's lying at the point of death. So you see his dignity. You see his daughter. But here's where I've preached to get to for just a minute. He's got a dilemma in his life. Jairus has saw what Christ can do. He saw it. There's no doubt. Jairus has saw Jesus heal the sick. Jairus has saw the miracles of Christ. Jairus has saw the demonic people, the demons cast out of them, quite possibly. It's possible that he's even saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead. Jairus has not only heard what Jesus can do, Jairus has witnessed what Jesus can do. And now Jairus, this man of dignity, has a little girl that is sick and at the point of death. He's got a dilemma in his life. Do I continue doing what I've always done? Or do I junk my pride and do I junk my religion and do I run to Jesus? What's he going to do? His daughter living, his daughter making it, his daughter being healed, all lies in the hands of him and the decision he's fixing to make. So what does he do in his dilemma? He makes the decision. What is his decision? Let's read it. And behold, there cometh one in verse number 22 of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. When he saw who? When he saw Jesus. What did he do? The Bible said he fell at his feet. And the Bible said this, and besought him greatly. You study that word besought out. It has numerous meanings, but here's one of the meanings of that word, begging. Now think about this. Here's a man of dignity, a ruler of the synagogue. Go home and just study that out. Brother Joe, he was a man of dignity. Here he is running to the man that he's warned about. And Brother Ted, he falls at his feet, kneels at the feet of Jesus, and begins to beg Jesus on behalf of his child. You said, "Preacher, why did you say all that this morning?" Here's the reason that I said all of that. We can have all the religion that we want to have. I'm all for coming to church. Here we are this morning. Man, we've got a great crowd. I walked up from my office this morning, or actually from Miss Stephanie's and Miss Leslie's office, because the teenage boys took my office this morning. One of our air conditions went out, and I put them in my office so they could have air conditioned this morning. And I sat over in the secretary's office and finished getting my thoughts together, and I was walking up here about 20 minutes to 11. Man, there wasn't many cars in the parking lot. And here's what the devil said: "Well, there ain't nobody coming to church today." And he had me believing him. Man, look around, they ain't even hardly a seat open today. I'm all for going to church. I'm all for reading the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. I believe we ought to study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm all for reading our Bible today. I'm all for it. Matter of fact, this week, and I don't say this bragging, I'm just talking to you. This week I started back through my Bible again, and I'm almost at the end of Exodus, man, and I got excited yesterday. Man, the Egyptians come pursuing after Moses, and they run out into the midst of the dry ground, and Moses stretched his rod out over the waters, and the waters came in, and the Bible said this, that the chariot wheels run off and they drave them off. Man, I'd have loved to have been there. Could you imagine being a catfish in the water that day, watching all of that take place? And I know my imagination's different than you, okay? Some of y'all, "I would like to be a lion on the side of the bank watching." Man, I'd just like to be a cat. I'd like to have been a bream. All right, I'd like to have been a sucker. Somebody give me a way. I'd have just liked to have been there and seen it, dude. I'm all for, you about said amen on that sucker, didn't you? I'm all for religion to a certain extent. I'm all for reading our Bible. I'm all for going to church. I'm all for paying your tithes. I'm all for you giving $100,000 on the fifth Sunday to help us pay the building off. Amen, praise God, hallelujah. I may even talk in tongues if we got $100,000. No, I won't. But anyway, I got to remember we got some visitors. I got to remember that. I won't talk in tongues, okay? It's not scriptural. Just come here a minute. I'm all for it. But religion will do nothing but send you to hell. That's all religion will do. Religion will never save you. Religion will never get you to heaven. Going to church will never take you to heaven. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? He's had a dilemma in his life. He knows everything to do religiously, but he comes to a place in his life where his daughter's going to die if he don't get to Jesus. And he's realized there's really something to this man by the name of Jesus. He's not just a fairy tale. It's not what everybody else is saying. And here's what Jairus decides to do. Man, I'm getting to Jesus. I'm going to where he is. He's at, and he finds himself at the feet of Jesus, begging Jesus to touch his daughter. Well, you know the story. Jesus starts to the house, and there's a delay on the way because this woman runs up to him and Jesus heals her. And then they come up to Jairus and said, there's no need to seek him anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus says, hey man, don't worry about it. All right, we're just going to keep walking. When we get there, we'll take care of business. He walks into the house and he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And just time out. Let me run that rabbit just real quick. There's something to getting a little bit closer to Jesus than everybody else. You'll get to see some things that not everybody else sees. And Peter, James, and John saw that, those three that was right there with him. And they go in, and Jesus speaks to her, and he raises her from the dead. And he raises her from the dead. And she's alive. There's the deliverance. Now, here's the whole moral to the story. Here it is. If that daddy hadn't besought Jesus on the behalf of his daughter, she'd have died and that'd have been the end of the story. But there was a daddy that decided, I'm going to seek God on the behalf of my child. Now let me make a practical application and we're going home. Every one of us sitting here today, I promise you, look, it's 3 minutes till 12. There's not even youth church, okay? The nurseries probably want me to watch the time. Every person sitting here today, Miss Lisa, do you care to start playing something softly? Every person sitting here today is made up of two things, a body and a soul. Every person sitting here, we've got a soul inside of us. The body's going to die one day and return to the dust. It's what the body's going to do. Every one of us sitting here one day, if Jesus don't come back, we're going to die and we're going to go to the dust. You said, preacher, I didn't come to hear that this morning. It's just facts. Okay? It's just Bible. It's going to happen. But inside of you is a soul. And that soul is going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. The dependency of that child making it was in the hands of a father. Let me say that again. The dependency of that child making it was in the hands of a father. And you know what that father had to do? That father had to seek Christ on the behalf of that child. That child was at a place at the point of death where it couldn't do it. And it all fell in the hands of a daddy to get to Jesus. Now listen to me, daddies. Our young'uns are going to die one day. Are you hearing me? And their souls is going to live forever. Brother Josh, either in heaven or in hell. One of the two places. The way my child is going to know about God ought not be because I put them on a bus and send them somewhere. But it ought to be because me as a daddy, because me as a daddy fell at the feet of Jesus and said, my little girl's going to die one day. God, help me to lead them to you. If, oh God, help us this morning. If I preach all over the country and thousands are saved and my children die and go to hell, then I missed it, man. If Madeline goes on to be a brain surgeon and the greatest doctor that ever lived in the world, and I never got her to Jesus, I failed as a parent. You can say amen or oh me this morning, but I failed as a parent. There comes a time, men, that we have to junk everything else. And we have to realize what's going to matter at the end of this life is if we got our kids to Jesus. So I want to ask you, Daddy, in closing today, you getting your kids to Jesus? I didn't ask you if you was taking them to church. Because the church will fail you. The preacher will fail you. You can holler amen. The church will fail you. The preacher will fail you. On my best day, I'm flesh and I'm going to mess up. And on your best day, you're flesh and you're going to mess up. The church will fail you. The preacher will fail you. People will fail you, but God will never fail you. And we've got to realize that it's our place as daddies, not just to raise them and to teach them character. I'm all for that. It's not just this. The most important thing is that we train our children. It's not a form of godliness. Church is not just something we do, but it is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship with Him. And it all fell back in the hands of Jairus. So when I ask you, Daddy, what are you going to do today? Are you going to get your kids to Jesus? I sure would hate to know, and I'm fixing to kill her deader than three midnights, but I sure would hate to know that I spent more time on a ball field or on a ball court well, my youngin', than I did down at the house of God. There's a great judgment. Here's where we're missing it at. There's a judgment day coming. We're going to stand in the presence of a holy God. And we're going to give an account to Him. If you're saved, you're not going to give an account for your sins. It's paid for on Calvary. But you're going to give an account for your works, what you've done for Him. Daddies, may we get our kids to Jesus. May we get them to Jesus. And can I say this to you this morning? If you're here and you've never met Him, there'd never be no greater day. This would be the greatest day of your life. You know, when Jairus' greatest day was, you say, preacher, did Jairus get saved? No doubt he got saved. You say, when did Jairus get saved? Let me tell you when, this is Barkerology, okay? Let me tell you when Jairus got saved. When he left and started to Jesus. Because at that moment, Brother Lloyd, he knew that if he could get to Him, everything would be all. At that moment, he was junking every bit of his religion, every bit of his dignity. Can you imagine? Why did he leave his little girl and her at the point of death? You couldn't pull me away from her side if something happened to her. Why did he leave her? Let me tell you the reason he left her, because there wasn't nobody else to go get Jesus. That's why. I think he tried to send somebody else. I believe he said, hey, you're a big boy to be hitting. Let me move back. I believe he said, he scared me. I believe he said, why don't you go get Jesus? My baby's dying. Go get Jesus. Somebody go get Jesus. And they said, no, you told us not to go around him. You told us he's a false prophet. And you know what he said? Junk every bit of that. I don't care what nobody else says. I know what he can do. I've seen the change he can make. I know he can help my baby. And at that moment, by faith, he left running to Jesus. Amen. And boy, what a change took place in that family.